And you know, I practiced for several days how to recite all those names, and it didn't do a bit of good. Well, our scripture, our topic for our sermon this morning is taking a leap of faith. Taking a leap of faith. Over the last couple of years, I've had the privilege of watching my niece, Emily, grow from being a baby to a toddler. That's an interesting time. They do a lot of weird and crazy things at that time. And one of the things that I was privileged to watch her go through was learning how to walk. Now, it took her a little longer than most to get the hang of walking, but she did finally get it. But during the course of that learning how, there were times when I was with her, visiting with her, and I would hold her in front of me and we'd walk. And I'd try to let go, because I knew she was ready. You know, I knew she didn't need to hang on to anything anymore. She was walking, she was doing good, but she was still hanging on. So I'd walk with her and I'd try to let go, and she'd let go one hand, but she held that other hand just as tight as she could be. And it wasn't till sometime later, as I reflected on this, that for her to let go of everything and to walk without holding on to something was a giant leap of faith for her. Because she didn't know what was going to happen when she let go. Was she going to wobble and fall over or fall on her face or, you know, trip and stumble? She didn't know. She didn't know. So it was a leap of faith for her. As a matter of fact, all through her life, there will be things that she will have to do that will be a leap of faith. We know that from our own lives. As we grow older, go through different things, we have to take a leap of faith. Go out and do things that we're not sure about, that we have no experience in. By the way, Emily finally got the hang of walking. She mastered it. And now her mother, my sister, has a hard time keeping up with her. She's going 90 miles. That brings up a funny thing. I think it's kind of strange that when we're raising children, we first tell them to let go. Just go. Take off. Get running. And then once they do, we start saying, wait, stop, hold my hand. You know, it's like, why aren't kids messed up, right? We can't decide what we want them to do. Anyway, stepping out on faith, key of the outcome, has long been a challenge. Since the beginning of time, push humankind step out on faith, to go a little further, to not stay where it's comfortable, to try something new. You see that in all through the Bible, many great stories. Our scripture for the story of the crossing of the Jordan River is no exception to that. Moses has passed away. The Israelites are coming to the end of a very long, long, long journey. Longer than I'd ever want to be on. And Moses has passed away, and now Joshua is in charge. And all these things are happening, and they can see the promised land. I mean, it's like from here to downtown, they can see the promised land, you know. But they got across the Jordan River to get there. And of course, the problem is the Jordan River is swollen over its banks. And we've seen pictures on TV of rivers that have had flash floods and swollen over their banks, and they look pretty angry, don't they? I sure wouldn't want to go walking in one of them. And this is what they had to cross. So the Lord gives a command to Joshua that a great miracle is about to take place, and that through these miracles, God will affirm Joshua's chosenness, and leadership to all of Israel. Now that's a good point there. Because Joshua, although he knew he was the chosen leader and was doing his best to lead the group, I'm sure he still had some confidence problems with some of the Israelites. After all, he was filling the shoes of Moses. I would not want to have to follow in those footsteps. So God was going to not only help him get across, but use his time to assure the people that Joshua was in fact his man. God tells Joshua to send a priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant to the edge of the water, the edge of the Jordan River. As soon as the priests step into the water, the river will split and dry land will appear, and they'll be able to cross without any problems. It is through this miracle that God will again demonstrate devotion to the Israelites. And the Israelites will acknowledge the special leadership of Joshua. Of course, when we hear this story about the Jordan River, there's another story that comes to mind, isn't it? Happened earlier than this, with the same folks on the same journey. And that is Exodus 14. When they were under the leadership of Moses and they had to cross the Red Sea. Some real similarities there about these two stories, isn't there? But even with that, there's some differences. The first thing is Joshua is not out in front. He's not saying, all right, I'm going out here and splitting the river and you follow me through. Joshua's in the back or in the middle. And he's saying, no, the priests are going to go first with the Ark of the Covenant. Second, the priests had to take the initiative by stepping into the river as it still swelled. The dry land would only appear after the first step, after their first step into the water. See, with the Exodus 14 story with Moses, the water body had already split. There was dry land there before they ever stepped in it. This time they had to step in the water, you know, get their feet wet a little bit, and then it appeared. So it is different. Also, the Israelites approached the Red Sea out of desperation. Remember, they got there and they had to get across because the Egyptian army was behind them, ready to clean their clock, to have it out with them, for leaving them with all the work to do. This time they approached the Jordan River strictly on faith. The only reason why they needed to cross was to get to the promised land that God had promised them. There was no panic, though. There was no army coming up from the rear that was going to have their way with them. So it was strictly a matter of faith. They believed that God had promised Joshua a miracle. They knew that God had delivered their ancestors across the Red Sea. Yet when it came right down to actually doing it, when it came right down to them actually making that first step and getting into the water and waiting for it to part, it was strictly faith. And they were probably a little bit afraid. I would be. Their first step, their initiative, was ultimately a leap of faith. Ultimately, had to be. Their feet had to touch the waters before the dry land would come. They had no proof or guarantee. They had no personal experience. Sure, they knew their ancestors had been taken across water, but we're talking about they were on this trip so long that they had passed through generations while still on this trip. So most of these folks, probably all of these folks that were here now, actually, we're not at the Red Sea when that happened. They had not been born yet, or were very, very little maybe when they were there. So they really had no experience with this. They were kind of like a child, taking a walk for the first time without holding on to anything. It was scary. It was a leap of faith, but they had to do it. And they had to trust more than themselves. They had to trust God. Now, you're probably wondering, How did the Israelites know that they could trust God? I mean, how did they really know? For that matter, how do we know when we're faced with something where we got to step on our faith? How do we really know? What assurances does God give us that He's going to see us through whatever this is we have to step out on faith in? How do we really know? Well, these are good questions. These are questions on the minds of, well, really all of us. For part of the answer, I want you to turn in your Bible to Isaiah 43. And by the way, I got this passage from doing the devotion in the upper room. Just a little ad there for the upper room. It's amazing what you can get out of that great little book. Isaiah 43, 1 through 5. Follow along as I read. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead, Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. God spoke to the Israelites through this and other passages. And he's telling us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to make that step out on faith, that leap of faith. We don't need to be afraid because God has given us the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ to be right there with us to guide us and lead us. Folks, we got the best defensive line we could ever have. Fantastic. Anytime we step out on faith, the Holy Spirit's right there with us, standing right there with us. Jesus Christ is backing us up. Bobby Bowden wishes he could have a team like that. We belong to him. God says he called us on to his team by name. By name. And he knows he's numbered each hair in our head. He knows each hair in our head. That's why I tell my daughter when she tries to pull my hair out, don't pull it out. God knows those numbers. He's counting. Besides that, I don't want to go bald. But he knows us by name. And he's called each one of us by name into his kingdom and onto his team to do his work and to step out on faith for him. We're more precious to him than anything else he's created. And let me tell you, folks, he's created a lot of stuff. All we got to do is walk outside this church and see what he's created. And all the beautiful mountains and the wonderful oceans that we like to go visit and all the other places that are so beautiful and important to us, none of that is as important to him as we are. None of it. The Israelites knew they could trust God from the many leaps of faith that they had taken while on their journey. And they had faith that he would get them across the Jordan River as well. We can have faith, that same faith, in knowing that God will see us through by reading the scriptures like we just did, where he's promising us. He's promising his people, I love you. I'll be there with you. You're mine. You're more precious to me than anything else. We can also learn, or we can also have that faith that God will get us through by listening to the stories of others in our time that have had to make leaps of faith and can testify how God was there with them and saw them through. I read a story the other day in Guidepost, another one of my favorite books, because it's short stories for a short attention span. I read this story, and it was about a couple that was living out west. And they had been through their share of troubles and had finally turned their life over to Christ and getting their act together, so to speak, and been going to church and involved in ministry. And one day on their way to church, they actually pulled into the churchyard and the husband and wife started talking. They never got out of the car. And he said, you know, I think we're supposed to not go to church today. We're supposed to go home and pack up and leave. He says, well, you know, I kind of feel that way too. So they went home and they prayed about it. And they felt like God was telling them to leave where they were at, way out west, and go to Waycross, Georgia. Waycross, Georgia? What's in Waycross, Georgia? Neither one of them had been there. They didn't know anybody. The husband had only been through Georgia once for a short period of time when he was in the military, and he wasn't anywhere near Waycross. They didn't know anything about Waycross. So they prayed about it. They even got their two kids involved. They talked to them and they said, you know, we feel God is calling us to move. They didn't tell the kids where, and they said, we want you to go up in your rooms and pray. And take a piece of paper and write down whatever you think the Lord puts on your heart. So they went up there, you know, probably prayed for about an hour, maybe a half hour. You know, just don't quite too long. So they prayed and they came back down, and the little boy says, well, you know, I just didn't get much. All I got was way. Go the way. And he said, okay, that's cool. Put that over there, and the parents were kind of excited. They said, this is interesting. And so then the daughter came down a little later. She was a couple of years older than the boy, and she says, well, I prayed and prayed, and I listened and listened, and she says, the only thing I got was this picture of a cross. This is a true story. Well, that was it. A couple days later, they sold their home, packed up all their stuff, quit their jobs, went to Waycross. Didn't know why they were going. Didn't know what they were going to do when they got there. Didn't know where they were going to live. They just went. They got to Waycross, rented a little house, continued to follow the lead of God. And today, they're still there, and they're running a very large donation organization with the help of 40 volunteers. Isn't it amazing what God can do when we're willing to take a leap of faith? I bet that many of you have had times when you've had to make a leap of faith in your life. I bet there's many times when you've had to trust in God and say, well, you know, I don't know what's going to happen here. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm just going to do it because I feel God telling me to do it. Jeanine and I, probably the biggest leap of faith we made as a couple was when I told her I want to go into ministry full time. We sold our house, quit my job, went to school. That was a leap of faith. At times we thought we'd lost our mind. But we stuck with it. But I feel like in writing this sermon, I felt like, you know, there's some good stories out there. And we can learn from each other, from the challenges that we've overcome by making a leap of faith with God. I want to ask you, do some of you have some stories you'd like to share? Be afraid, we don't bite. Surely somebody out there has a time when they had to step out on faith and do something. They felt God pushing them to do something. Or maybe they just, a situation presented itself and they said, well, Lord, I don't know what to do here, but I'm just going to follow you. Yes, we did. And Mike, when you were speaking this morning, brother, God put a word on my heart. He's getting ready to do something amazing in your life. Stand by.
Every day.
He's moving in you in a mighty way. Somebody else got a story? Anything they want to share? Aaron. Any others? Well, these are great stories. Wonderful stories of trusting in God. And you see, you've got people right here that you can talk to about if you feel like God's asking you to step out on faith. And don't worry, because He will. If you're not in a situation where you need to make a leap of faith now, don't worry. We'll be at some point. Because God's always pushing us to go a little further, isn't He? We can see that in the Bible, you know. This is good. Just take a leap of faith. Will you pray with me?